It's Sunday morning. Time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning and Happy New Year, everybody. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio as we roll into 2016. And what a year we have ahead for the world of outdoors, conservation, outdoor recreation. And I say that not only because it's an election year, a national election year, but because there are so many issues that deal with funding of outdoor recreation as well as management of natural resources that were left on the table before 2015 concluded. And also, as we kick off 2016, it's impossible for me to believe this. It's absolutely impossible, but I'm beginning my 17th year on WGN as the host of the Great Outdoors Show, and I just have no idea, absolutely no idea where the time has gone, but it's certainly been a wonderful, wonderful experience, and I've loved every show and look forward to bringing you a great year in 2016. So let me start off with actually something that last week I talked about mild weather and how beneficial it is to wildlife and mild winters, little snow, and how we've had such terrible winters the last few and how it's hurt the upland populations and the deer populations and frankly all wildlife populations. And lo and behold, since we did that show and here we are, a little over a week later, we now have one of the worst situations possible for wildlife survival in winter that we could imagine. The only thing worse would have been big ice storm across the heartland followed by snow on top of it, meaning that birds and game couldn't have gotten through the snowpack to get to the ground and feed on nuts and berries and things like that. Instead, we have just unbelievable flooding from, well, really, the entire Midwest and South is, if it can go underwater, it is underwater. And the impacts of that at this time of the year on bird populations and on deer populations can be very, very difficult. So if you think of the riparian corridors of the Illinois and the Mississippi, the Kaskaskia, the Wabash, think of every major river watershed in the Midwest and in the South, and think of it being entirely underwater. That's exactly what we have. And so animals are displaced out of their traditional winter areas, and often the river bottoms provide the singular best cover for deer and upland birds. It's where the cover's the thickest. It's where the food sources are the best, particularly if it's adjacent to agricultural fields. That's gone. It's under gosh knows how many feet of water. Some places 10, 15 feet, some places a few feet, but it doesn't matter. The food's not accessible, and the animals have had to move. So upland birds, particularly pheasant populations that hang along riparian areas, cattail, sloughs, all of that, they're gone. They've had to go to the uplands. Quail are more of an upland bird, but they too have been displaced. And obviously the deer herd of Illinois is really, really on the move to try to get away from the water. So we have a situation in Missouri and Illinois and Tennessee and Arkansas and Mississippi and Louisiana and Texas and Iowa right now, where we really are going to see some serious impacts on bird populations. Turkeys, they'll move into the uplands. They'll, you know, roost in trees and things, but we've lost millions, maybe tens of millions of acres of habitat that's utilized in the winter by wildlife, from songbirds to deer, turkeys. The only thing that benefits from a flood like this, waterfowl. Ducks and geese, well, they've got it easy. They have more habitat than they know what to do with. They can spread out across the entire mid-continent in the South. And as a result, the reports from hunting really throughout the rest of the Mississippi flyway, they're still open, are abysmal. The birds have scattered, and you can't blame them. They don't have to concentrate. They don't have to go where there's food that's been planted for them because they have food available everywhere now. So it's a benefit to waterfowl, but for Illinois' resident populations, this flooding is really, really bad news. We'll see what happens, but right now we're looking at a situation where we're certainly going to see an impact on the population of birds. I want to switch from flooding of wildlife to actually talking for a moment about something that our pets badly need in the winter and something we really don't talk about very often, and that is our pets need a lot of water. Dogs in the winter need to drink water constantly. Your houses are dry. Think about it. I mean, think about the dryness inside a house and how we're naturally thirsty and how we need to drink more water. Our dogs are absolutely in the same situation, only more so. They cannot drink enough water in the winter. So it's really important that if you have a dog, whether it's a hunting dog or a lap dog, that in the winter you provide them with ample opportunities. And speaking of dogs, that you provide them with ample opportunities to, that's a dog barking in the background, that you provide them with ample opportunities to have water in the winter. You just can't leave them without an empty water bowl. It really can impact their system. So dogs in winter need water. In the summer, they need water, but in the winter, they need it even more. I'd like to go now and shift to a whole bunch of things for the rest of the show about what's coming up in 2016. And also, I'm going to end the show with a little story about something that's certainly an oddity in Illinois, because I didn't do it in Illinois. It was snowshoeing in the mountains and what that's like. And, of course, we have so little snow and throughout the traditional areas of the Midwest and the upper Midwest right now that snowshoeing is not a not something that's on a lot of people's minds. But it was on mine this week, and I had the opportunity to go in a wonderful place and do some. But before I get this little snowshoeing adventure, 2016, some things I think we want to look for that we hopefully can see take place. Number one, if you ask me for my wish list, and those of you listening who have not only kids but who need to get a hunter safety certificate so that you're able to go hunting in other states or you're able to have a firearm, we need to overhaul the hunter education system in Illinois and nationally. It is broken. It is a detriment to people entering the field of the shooting sports and hunting. It was set up to be a way to try to teach gun safety to people who would be handling guns. Somehow became known as a hunter education course. If you've gone through it, you clearly understand this isn't teaching you how to hunt. It's teaching you about gun safety. So one of the things hopefully that Governor Rauner will do, the Department of Natural Resources will do, and it'll be broadly supported by legislature in Illinois, is to fundamentally, 100%, change the hunter safety program in the state of Illinois. We are in the Neanderthal age with the way we deliver it. It is cumbersome. It's an impediment to people being able to take a hunter safety course. If you want to go find a hunter safety course for your son, grandson, daughter, granddaughter, even yourself, good luck. Good luck getting into one. Good luck being able to take it when you need to take it, when that's set up for you to take it. This is 2016, and the hunter safety program in Illinois operates as though basically computers hadn't been invented, and we expect people to have lots of time to go and sit down and look at a chalkboard. So we need to fix the hunter safety course. It really needs to be a gun safety course. You're not going to teach someone how to hunt deer or ducks or turkey or elk or rabbits in a hunter safety course. The whole purpose should be to make sure that the individual receiving the certification understands gun safety. And the courses have morphed from that initial conception of gun safety to being this morass of information that really is irrelevant to whether or not you're going to be a good hunter. And as I said a moment ago, it's costing Illinois a future generation of hunters. It's costing America a future generation of men and women who can go hunting. And we need to fix it before we have lost so many people that cannot get hunter safety certificates and therefore have lost their interest. I think it's the number one. There's one thing we need to do in 2016. It is to fix the hunter education certification program in Illinois and America. And I think in Illinois we're going to find the governor of Illinois is absolutely supportive of putting in place a modern system that uses technology and that enables people to get in the fields safely. I think the head of the director of the Department of Natural Resources, Wayne Rosenthal, also wants to see Illinois be a leader in this. We're not a leader in many things, but we can be a leader in transforming America's hunter safety education programs. And 2016 is an opportunity to do it, and I look forward to hopefully having that happen. So hopefully we'll have good news on that. When I come back in just a moment, I'm going to talk a couple things that are going on in Washington that will be of importance in the next 30 days. And then I'm going to take you snowshoeing. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's a winter wonderland, and it's your playground if you have the right equipment. Well, the 2015 Chevy Silverado is the key to a winter full of activity. With 12,000 pounds of towing capacity, Silverado can tow your snowmobiles anywhere you want to go. Hunting, ice fishing, Silverado gets 24 miles per gallon on the highway. And if you're hunting for a new truck, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer. They have leasing experts who can get you more Chevy for less money with a big fixed lease. Chevy Silverado is the first and only pickup to offer 4G LTE Wi-Fi that keeps you connected on the go. It's the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road, and that makes it the best choice you can make for off the road. Throw in a 2-year, 24,000-mile free schedule maintenance, and you've got yourself an all-American camping partnership made in heaven. Ask about the big fix lease at your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer, or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for all the details. Track it down, and oh, by the way, there's no limit.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and hope you're enjoying the show. And if you're just joining us, welcome. I'd like to spend a moment talking about volunteerism, something that I think a lot of us believe in, particularly when it comes to helping make the outdoors a better experience. And maybe in 2016... aside from the Hunter Education Program being reformed in Illinois, which is a priority, maybe all of us can collectively get around this notion that we need to reform the way volunteerism takes place in the state of Illinois, how our state parks are managed, how our wildlife management areas are managed, how our bike trails are managed, and take the point of view that these are our resources. These are not the resources of people who get paid by the state of Illinois. These are our resources, and Illinois currently has a situation, and if we're fortunate in the coming weeks, we'll be able to have the governor of Illinois explain this in a little bit greater detail, but Illinois has a situation where it is right now not possible, in many cases, to be a volunteer and help clean up a state park, go to Illinois Beach State Park, clean things up, fix light bulbs, mow grass, fix levees, do the kind of things that make our public lands in Illinois more usable for the people of Illinois for whom those lands were purchased. We have a situation where, due to a completely convoluted set of union work rules, which were designed to protect labor, and I understand that, and I can fully understand the context in which they were designed, but in today's world, we have state parks that are falling apart. Bridges aren't being repaired. We have levees that are broken on waterfowl management hunting areas. We have deer hunting areas where nothing's being planted. We have dove hunting areas where things aren't being planted. We have pheasant and quail hunting areas where not only are things not being planted, but the areas aren't even being managed. We have state parks where the lights can't even be turned on. The grass isn't being mowed. And there are thousands of us in Illinois, tens of thousands of us actually, who use these public resources, and who are willing to spend a little bit of time and maybe even some of our own treasure to try to make these public areas the best they can be for our use, and yet we have no ability to do so because the laws of the state of Illinois were set up in such a way that it never occurred to the people who were controlling the politics in Springfield that volunteerism is at the core of what makes great outdoor recreation possible. Instead, it's all controlled by the states. It's all controlled by union work rules. And you can't go mow the lawn somewhere as a volunteer because that's taking the job away from somebody who is paid by the state to do that job. And I'm not having a discussion about whether that's good or bad. What I'm simply saying is we don't have any money in the state of Illinois. We're not mowing lawns. We're not fixing levees. We're not doing the things that make our state lands usable by the public, and people are willing to volunteer their time and effort and equipment to make it happen, and it's against the law. It's absolutely ridiculous. And hopefully, I mean, Illinois has got hundreds of thousands of people who utilize our state parks, our beaches, our public hunting areas, And hopefully the legislature comes to realize that we are not only interested in making our public resources better, but that we would like to make them better, and we're willing to do so. And this isn't about taking a job away from somebody. It isn't about making someone not have overtime. It's about making areas function, which the state in its budget situation today has demonstrated it cannot do. So hopefully in 2016 and early in 2016, as we work on a budget deal, we will reach a situation where the legislature and the governor work to enable volunteerism in Illinois to become something of which we are proud of and strive for and can make happen. So I got about 2 minutes left, and I'm going to take you snowshoeing. So for just a moment, think about being high in the mountains with snow. Of course, we don't have this kind of snow in Illinois right now, and maybe we don't want this kind of snow either. But snow over your heads, crystal clear blue skies, pine trees, mountain peaks glistening, and putting on a pair of snowshoes, not something I can say that I do very often. And blazing a trail with a group of outdoorsmen who are headed off in the mountains. I had that experience last week. It's actually kind of a foreign experience for a flatlander, but it is a magical thing to do. To be able to feel this is though you're walking on cotton. It's what it's a cotton pillow. The snowshoes don't sink down very far. It's just deathly quiet. When you stop, the only thing you can hear is yourself breathing. You don't hear, there are not a lot of birds. In fact, there are no birds singing. Occasionally you hear the wind moving the pine trees and the snow falling off. But by and large, it is just still. It is cold, it is still, and it is beautiful. And we went off on a 3-hour trek up a mountain pass, along a ridge line, and back down. Snowshoeing is exhausting, whether you're accustomed to the altitude or not. You work up an incredible sweat. It is a rigorous workout. And at the end of it, you feel as though it's a different feeling than cross-country skiing or downhill skiing. It's like going on a great hike, except it's a lot more exercise. So I had this experience after Christmas. No snow in Illinois, huge snow in the mountains of the West. And it was one of those days when you just stood there and you could see mountain peaks 50 miles away, stunning, sparkling in the snow and in the bright sunshine. And it made you realize what a great world the great outdoors is. So hopefully you'll have that opportunity to get outside this week in the great outdoors, somewhere wherever you're listening, and enjoy the miracles of winter. Thanks for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.